This episode of the Die Hard Den podcast is dedicated to the memory of Shawnee J's father, Mr. Walter Van Buren. Thank you for tuning in to this very special episode. There's a new era in Allen Park. Coming up on the Die Hard Den podcast, Shawnee J and I discuss the firings of Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. Then we take a look at the future of the franchise going forward. And you know we got to play our favorite game, Hell Yeah or Hell No. Plus, we preview the upcoming game versus the Bears on Sunday. All this and more coming up right now on the Die Hard Den podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Den podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
Hey, good people. Good to be back. It's been a couple of weeks. You know, last week was Thanksgiving, but good to be back.
Yeah, it is good to be back. If you did not know, Shawnee J, at the beginning of the show, you saw the memorial picture. He lost his dad, passed away, and we gave him some time away to make sure he took care of that. So Shawnee J, from us right here, all the friends and family at the Die Hard Den podcast, and the friends and family at the Detroit Sports Alliance, because you know I'm proud of that group over there, dude. We would like to still extend our condolences to you and your family, my man.
Thank you so much. You know, it means a lot to me. Thank you, Curtis.
Hey, man. Hey, man. But it is time to do some good things, man, and talk about some good stuff. We got some things to catch up on, my brother. And you know how we do it this time. It is time to tell me something good. So right now, I'm going to tell you that something good that, and we'll get into it in depth later, is ding dong, they are finally gone. The Quinn-Trisha era is over in Detroit. So, Shawnee J, you got some good news on a player. What you got, my man? Tell me something good.
Well, DeAndre Swift, he's out of concussion protocol, but now he's battling some unnamed illness, hopefully or no. Kids have some tough luck, but they say he should be able to go, hopefully, on Sunday. He's out of protocol.
Yeah.
They kept him out of practice. He's had some tough luck lately, but he's a strong kid. If we can play on Sunday, because people have been begging for him to play, get the ball more. As soon as we give him the ball more, this happens. So,
yeah,
let's hope for good help for DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, that's tough for him, man. You know, hey, thank you guys for tuning in to the Die Hard Den podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, ring the notification bell so you know when you get fresh content from us right here on the Die Hard Den podcast. If you're watching on Facebook, like it, share it. Feel free to follow our Facebook page. Shawnee J, he kills it over there on our Facebook page, keeping you informed on what's going on with the Lions news. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platforms, thanks for the download. We appreciate you giving us that business. If you have a Alexa, the powered device from Amazon, just say, hey, Alexa, play the Die Hard Den on Apple Podcasts, and we will be right there. All right, so now we're going to do a little bit different this time, this show. Since we've been away for a while and the games have been played, the Lions play on Thanksgiving, so they've been away for a while, so we're not going to go over the scores. But what we're going to talk about is the changes that are afoot in Allen Park. So right now on the ball, Shawnee J, what are your thoughts on the firings of Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn?
I know the majority of Lion fans are happy about it, but you know, I'm happy to see a guy lose his job. Even Patricia, you know, I knew it may have been dumb, but still, you don't root for somebody to get fired. I was rooting for him, believe it or not, to win. Can he turn around? Could they get on the winning streak? But wasn't to be. And the last two games against Carolina and Houston, two games, I thought they could win. They didn't look good in them.
Yeah.
So perhaps it's time, you know.
Yeah. That, my thing is, you know, I think it was time. I mean, and we'll talk about that. But what are my thoughts on the firing? Now these guys, they're going to get paid their contracts to the end of, their run. So they're not going to not get paid. But, I think that the way Patricia in particular came in and the things that he said and the lack of winning, you know, his attitude was just terrible. And he brought this Belichickian type of attitude, but didn't bring the Belichickian type wins. And you can't have that nasty attitude and not win. And with Bob Quinn, he brought him in to say 9-7 wasn't good enough, and we're gonna move on from Jim Caldwell. And you bring in the coach that does this, you deserve to be fired as well. Do I root for people to get fired, lose their job? No. It was at time. Was I happy that they just lost their jobs? Right now, to be honest with you, I think it was time for the team to move on. So what do you think about Sheila Forehemp? Did she handle this firing correctly? Did she handle it right?
Well, she handled as well as she could. Maybe people wanted to hear from us. People wanted her to fire them sooner. She yes. gave them every chance to turn, like I said, to turn around. But things, you know, the Carolina game and the Houston game where the team just got outplayed, manhandled by two teams with losing records. I mean, yeah. Teams he should have beat. I thought he could have beat. I mean, you saw the picture to caption her of the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah, hand over her face. In the man.
Yes, frustrated, embarrassed,
yeah.
disgusted. So you knew that was a kiss of death.
Yeah.
And she's very competitive. She, you see her press conference, she said that Matt and Bob are good guys, but it wasn't an easy thing to do, but it's mm-hmm. a business decision,
yeah.
you know. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so if she handled it right, there's really no – well, I guess she did. I mean, she wasn't Grand Coney and just had them throw out the door and lock them out the facility and mail their belongings home. Anything
yeah.
like that. That would be the wrong way to handle it. But she was as civil and as nice as she could be, a nice fire in a nice way.
Uh-huh.
Give them the chance to say the goodbyes, clean out the offices.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like she said, get out and never come back. She's going to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never easy. Firing a person is never easy thing to do for anybody. No matter mm-hmm. what industry you're in, you know, it's never an easy thing to do. At least they say that.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's one of the least enjoyable tasks. Mm-hmm. So she, nothing personal, it's business. Like I said, it's business.
Yeah.
And she gave me every opportunity to turn around, even there was public pressure to get rid of him, even, you know, in the last year.
Yeah.
So she gave me every opportunity, man. So she handled it as best she could.
She wrote up on Matt Patricia at his house and told him to get it right. She wrote up on the crib and was like, hey, bruh. You got to get this thing right. And it just didn't happen. So, you know, now leading to that and how she handled it, do you think it was the right time? Do you know, and this is your opinion. Was it the right time for her to move on?
I think so. Now I read mm-hmm. an article on Lions Wire.
Mm-hmm.
She said the guy suggested that she should give him the rest of the season. Well, you know, the public pressure is mounting, the fans or, you know, getting nasty and mm-hmm. things getting nasty around here.
Yeah.
I think it was the right time. Just like mm-hmm. when Matt Millen got fired 3 games in 2008 and mm-hmm. when Mariucci got fired mm-hmm. after Thanksgiving loss in 2005 to the Falcons and when what's his name? Matt Murray Mayhew and Tom LeJuan got fired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it was the right time because things, you know, the fan base, was out with the torches and pitchforks, like mm-hmm. those old Frankenstein movies. They wanted blood. Mm-hmm. She gave the fan base what they wanted. She gave them a sacrificial offering.
Mm-hmm.
To wait till the end of the season, you know, you just had to hear more Mike Valente's mouth and other guys' mouths.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of, you know, she kind of undermined them a little bit so they can't crap on the Lions as much. So I think mm-hmm. the timing was right, too.
And then I think that one thing that actually kind of saved them was, you know, they had a little run where they could have made a playoff run, you know. But another thing that saved them, to be honest with you, is COVID. And you know why? It would have been worse. Think about those games they lost at Ford Field. You think how bad it was just on social media. Think how bad it would have been in Ford Field, say Thanksgiving Day. Think of how bad it would have been in that stadium, how they would have booed the Lions off the field on Thanksgiving Day. That would have been horrible. You know,
the opening day game against the Bears.
Yeah, it's all the the fans not being in Ford Field definitely was one of the things that kind of kept them around a little bit longer than that they should have been there. I think they should have fired them at the beginning, actually beginning of the year. After the first few games, I just think that Matt Patricia just wasn't the right guy for the position. Interesting take was that if you look at them, they weren't ready to take on that those positions. Even coming from the Patriots organization, you have to look at their level of responsibility. Now, one thing is for certain, the two things for sure, is that Belichick runs that whole entire program. From the personnel department to all the coaches, and they follow his lead. And one thing I've noticed about him is that he's not a very good teacher of his the people that are under him. You know, they work for him, whatever, but he doesn't teach them how to do what he does. They just kind of watch him do what he does, and they kind of add on.
That's why so many former Patriots sisters have failed.
Yeah, have failed. So you just don't see it right now, you know. So, but I just think it was the right time to move on. Patricia and Quinn, good luck to them down the line. Like I've said it before, if you haven't heard me say it, hey, you know, good luck. You just ain't going to do it in Detroit. You just didn't get it done, and it was just time to move on. So, and speaking of moving on, it's time to end the segment. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the Die Hard Den podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, ring that notification bell so you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Den podcast. You know how we put it down. And if you watched it on Facebook, like it, share it, and go ahead and follow the Facebook page. Shawnee J Gets It Done over there on Facebook, keeping you informed of all the Lions news you need. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, thanks for the download. And if you have an Alexa-powered device from Amazon, just say, hey, Alexa, play the Die Hard Den podcast on Apple or Spotify, and we will be right there for you. Now it is time to defend the den. Now this time we're going to take a look at the future of the team. You know, we talk about the defense on this segment, but we're doing it different today. Now, in defend the den, we're going to look at what the Lions will do in the near future. All right, so, Shawnee J, what do you think the team will do over the last five games of the season?
Well, Sheila, whoever her name is, the new owner, she gave Bevo, she said, you know, it's your five-game audition. She's not telling the Lions to tank. She wants them to go out and be competitive and win and try and get that last wild card spot,
yeah,
especially if they maybe extend the playoffs to eight teams per conference. Mm-hmm. Go get it. I mean, this is so late. I don't hate tanking. I mean, like I know a lot of Lions fans want the Lions just to tank, go 0-5, get a mm-hmm. top five draft pick, but I hate that. Mm-hmm. We went through this last year, so many years, you know.
Uh-huh.
Kuda, we got Kuda third overall pick that so many Lion fans are down on. I mean, I think we should go win, try to win, because see if Bevel, he has a different shot maybe of getting the job full time.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful, because I hear a lot of names, people want Eric Bieniemy or Robert Saleh from San Francisco, but they're assistants. They never had coaching jobs before. Mm-hmm. How much more qualified are they than Bevel? I mean, it's all they on the same level. You know, they kind of made it rhyme. You don't know. Like I said, you really don't know if a guy can coach until you hire him, give him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the Lions will go out, go at least 3-2, 4-1.
Okay. So that's what you got, 3-2, and that's what you think. Do you think they're going to be about 3-2 Or 4-1. Okay.
4-1.
All right.
Tennessee's gonna be a tough game.
Yeah.
Henry.
I can see Henry breaking the single season rushing, the single game rushing record against the Lions. Our run defense is terrible. And then with Danny Shelton going on the shelf, man, that's gonna hurt. I think the Lions, I'm not as optimistic as you are. I never want to see them tank, and I never want to see them lose, but I'm an optimist. I mean, I'm a realistic person, even though I like to have optimism. I think they're going to go 2-3 over the next 5 games. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're probably at the most, they will probably be 7-9, or excuse me, I'm not saying 7-9. The most they will be is 8-8, but and that's a winning 4 games. But I think that they won't win that. If it's 3-5, then they can be 7-9. So I think that's what we probably end up being, right below 500 at the end of the season. Question for you: looking at the reports coming out of Allen Park, that the schemes going into Sunday are going to be different. You're going to have where they said Bevel has really picked up the pace on offense, and there's some noticeable changes on defensive side of the ball. Do you think that Matt Patricia was stifling Bevel and Unlin when they're play calling and there's in the scheme of the defense and or in the offense? I'm sorry.
You know, there's some reports that he was, but we really don't know. Other than they both and Bevel came out and said no, Patricia didn't hold him back. Who really knows? Like I said, as a coordinator, you know, you may want to do one thing, but it's up to Patricia to get to go ahead. But now that Bevel is the head coach, he can call what he wants or answer anybody. And I'm sure he says, look, Corey, Unlin, you get the defense all yours. I won't interfere. You're the defense coordinator for a reason. I'm going to let you do your thing. I'm not going to interfere with defense. You got 100%. So this may work. I mean, you know, we need some, of course, you need the horses to make it work. The players, hopefully get some players back. Hopefully Trey Flowers will be back. We need him. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Everson Griffin can do his thing. And
well, we got the younger Quark is back, so.
But he's not going to play yet.
Yeah. He's been activated. He's been activated from the injury reserve. So he has a chance to play. He has a chance to play on Sunday.
These are the horses we can get.
I think that with the question about the stifling, I just think that Patricia has had his way in his system of how he wanted to do things. So do I think it was a stifle? I won't say it was a complete stifle, but I think it was you had to do things kind of in his way in his system, if you know what I'm saying. Like, they probably may have some leeway to do some things, but as far, especially on the defensive side of the ball, you know, it was one of those things where this is the system we're going to run. You can run what you can call what you want to call, but you're going to call what's within this system. And, you know, bringing a defensive coordinator in, you know, is a challenge for a defensive minded coach, even for an offensive minded coach, bringing an offensive coordinator, unless they're going to run your system. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. In this system in Detroit, for Patricia to be a defensive minded coach and come being a defensive coordinator, the defense was terrible. So I just didn't get it. So, and I think that we'll see some difference if Corey Unlin goes back to the kind of what the system he ran in Philly, especially with that why not. We know we had that here under Jim Schwartz. That's where he's coming from under his tutelage. So, I mean, we'll see what's going to happen, but I think there's going to be some changes, scheme changes. I think it's going to be opening up. I think they're going to put some more pressure on a quarterback in the system under Corey Unlin, excuse me. All right. So here's the big question. All right. So here's the big question of the future. We're going to get wrapped up the defender then with looking at the future. Who would you like to see as the next GM and head coach?
Well, like I said, I got to see it's available. I've been hearing a lot of names. The main names I've been hearing for GM, I think that question first, are, of course, Chris Spielman and Louis Riddick. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing those names a lot. Those are the main two I've been hearing. Mm-hmm. Spielman, I love Spielman, one of my favorite all-time Lion players, one of all-time Lion great. Talks a good game in the broadcast. Mm-hmm. Once again, We've been through this 20 years ago with another former linebacker, won five
Super Bowl. Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
We've been through this before with Matt Millen, who's got a good game in the broadcast booth. A good player, won five Super Bowl rings. Everybody said he knows how to run a team, knows how to win. He's had a disastrous intern that was filming. Riddick, he's back in the broadcast booth, but he does have some player personnel experience.
Yeah, definitely. He's pro scout, director of player personnel at Washington and Philly. So, yeah, he does have some experience.
He may be the more realistic option, but there's no guarantees to anybody. As far as the head coach goes, well, like I said, Bevel gets his chance these last five games. And, of course, the main two things I've been hearing are Bieniemy and Saleh. But once again, once again, those two guys are coordinators. Just like Patricia was, like Bevel was. What do they have to offer? How can he guarantee they can win when Patricia fail or Bevel, So I think Bevel is going to do everything he can to win because he does want to be a head coach. And there's no guarantee if you bring Bieniemy or Saleh that they're going to be the head coach you're looking for, expected, you never know these coaches.
All right. So for me, looking at there's a few names for the general manager. One thing that sticks out for me is Rick Smith, former GM of the Houston Texans. He has a really good resume. You look at who he brought in. He drafted J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson, drafted Jadeveon Clowney, signed free agents like Arian Foster and A.J. Bouye. So he has some cachet. He got pushed out by the regime in Houston in 2017, when his wife got sick, he had to take an extended leave of absence because he was the general manager and executive president of player personnel. And next thing you know, he tries to come back. They've made Bill O'Brien the GM, and he's kind of just got forced out. So, I mean, this guy, he knows how to draft. He knows good talent. So I think that may be one name. There's one guy that helped rebuild the Indianapolis Colts, Ed Dodds, up in Indianapolis. He really helped rebuild that whole roster up there. And you look at the success they're having, and that's going to be contributed to him. And he was also out in Seattle, and he helped build the Legion of Boom out there. So, I mean, he helped one of the people that helped scout Russell Wilson. So, he is a definite name. I think it may be tough to get him out of Indianapolis just because he likes the culture there. Jim Irsay treats him well. Even though he's the assistant general manager, he has a lot of responsibility on that team. And he's one of the guys that really shy away from the spotlight. So I think he likes being behind the scenes as an assistant GM. So it may be hard to get him out of Indianapolis. If you look at the head coaching, you're right. Robert Saleh is a interesting name. And I say that for a couple of different reasons. One, he's from Dearborn. He grew up 2 miles from Allen Park, from the facility. Grew up 2 miles from it. So he's a homegrown talent. Went to Michigan State for his grad. Got a master's degree. He actually was a defensive assistant at Michigan State. He was a defensive assistant at University of Georgia and Central Michigan as well. If you look at his resume in the pros, made his way up, kind of worked his way up from a coaching intern to a quality control defensive on the defense to assistant linebackers coach to a linebackers coach to the defensive coordinator now at San Francisco. But he has a following. He has a really local feel to him, and he may be able to kind of bring back that black and blue kind of workhorse type of feel to Detroit and really rebuild that defense. He gets a good offensive coordinator. He really can really turn the franchise around as far as the mentality of the defense. Because you look at that defense, he runs out there in San Francisco. they're playing well and they're down a lot of good key personnel. So that's just one name. I like the Roberts a lot. Eric Bieniemy is another, like you said, is an interesting choice for a head coach because he with the offensive mind. I don't think that it has to be a brand new, fresh out the box coach, but sometimes that does help to revitalize an organization, a team, some fresh blood. Sometimes retreads don't work, and you need a fresh GM and head coach in at the helm. So whatever it is, I hope that Sheila Ford Hemp and Rod Wood makes educated decisions, and I hope to God they get an outside agency and don't rely on the NFL, because the NFL is the ones that recommended Bob Quinn, and then that's how you got Matt Patricia. Because I think Bob Quinn, he gave Jim Caldwell a courtesy that 1 year he kept him on. I think that it was his plan the whole time to bring in Matt Patricia.
Yes, sir. Patricia said as much. Excuse me. Caldwell said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say this. Remember, when Patricia was still the coordinator, defense coordinator in New England, mm-hmm. everybody was gushing over him, saying how was the group, being the next great mind, the next Bill Belichick, how intelligent, hard working he was. Mm-hmm. And all that may be true, but it mm-hmm. resulted in no victories for the Lions.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up this section. The last one. Just give me a few players that you think the Lions should keep for the next regime. What lines you think need to stay around for the next guys up?
I'm gonna definitely say Stafford. Mm-hmm. I love Stafford. He was the best quarterback we ever had. You know, sure, mm-hmm. we just didn't win a title. Now mm-hmm. it's probably everybody want to put on Stafford's. But okay, you want to draft a young quarterback because yeah, he's going to be going to his 13th season. He's mm-hmm. getting older. Sure, draft a young quarterback. But as transition, this like with Green Bay did, they took that guy Jordan Love, the mm-hmm. transition for Rodgers, or when mm-hmm. they drafted Rodgers, transition from Fire. Sure, draft a young quarterback. Give him a chance to learn. Just don't throw him to the wolves because that's how you destroy a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I think staff should definitely stay at least one more year. Plus, like you said, it'd be a big cap hit. Mm-hmm. Let's definitely other guys. Let's see. I like Jared Davis. I hope that Allen can find the right way. He's still a very talented, gifted athlete. I can't understand why he fell in Patricia's doghouse. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're right. He's a good player, good athlete. I think they should keep him definitely for the defense. He's talented, mm-hmm. got speed. I mean, I think they should keep him and use him right. So Stafford and Jared Davis.
All right. For me, I think you have some building blocks on the offensive line. Definitely keep Decker, Jonah Jackson, Frank Ragnow. You keep those guys up front. I agree with you on Stafford. You leave him there with the cap hit. You can even draft, like you said, draft a quarterback and let him learn under Matthew Stafford. And after next season, maybe he moves on. I think that you're going to have to keep, you know, players like DeAndre Swift. I even like Cephas. He's the only actually wide receiver that we have that's going to be under contract next season. So it's going to be maybe a whole new wide receiving core coming up for the next regime. On the defensive side of the ball, Amani Arroyo is one definitely guy. Tracy Walker, I think Okuda has been playing out of position. Actually, I think Okuda will make a better safety than a corner. That's just me. He's a sure tackler. He doesn't have great top end speed, but he has enough cover skills to cover a tight end. And I just think he maybe is better suited as a safety than a corner. You know, look at it.
And if you remember on Okuda, I'm sorry,
uh-huh.
before he was drafted, all last winter, all you know, during the pre-draft process,
mm-hmm.
every magazine, every expert, every analyst said the Lions should take Okuda at 3. Mm-hmm. He'd be the perfect fit, exactly what the Lions need. So they took mm-hmm. him, and he hasn't lived quite to the promise.
Yeah, but I just think, you know, sometimes players, you know, they get drafted and they play out of position. Look at Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson was, you know, he was a corner, but he was a Hall of Fame safety. You know, if you look at his career. His best careers in the NFL were at safety, and I think that may be the thing with Jeff Okuda as well. So that wraps up Defend the Den. We appreciate you checking us out right here at the Die Hard Dan podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, if you hadn't subscribed to the channel already, click the subscribe button and ring that notification bell so you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Dan podcast. If you're watching on Facebook, like the video, share it with your friends. And if you haven't already, follow our Facebook page, like the page. Shawnee J does an excellent job of keeping you informed of all the Lions news and rumors over on our Facebook page. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, we appreciate your download. And if you have an Amazon-powered device, just say, hey, Alexa, put the Die Hard Dan podcast on your favorite podcast platform via Apple or Spotify, and they will get us to you. All right, now it's time to do and play our favorite game. You know what it is. Hell yeah or hell nah. So, Shawnee J, you ready, my man?
I'm ready for it.
All right. First up, Swift will be back to normal and will torch the Bears, making up for his week one drop. Hell yeah or hell nah.
I'm going to say hell yeah, even if he's not 100%, you know, he may be, you know, maybe 80, 90%. That's good enough as long as he's passed through COVID protocol. I'm not COVID, but concussion protocol and don't have COVID, obviously. Yeah, I think he's circled his game ever since that opening game we dropped. He's killing, he was looking for payback against the Bears. He wants to have a big game. He wants to make up for that drop. So if he's out there playing, I'm going to say, hell yeah, he's going to have a big game. And he's going to run into victory.
All right. I'm going to say, hell yeah, as well. I want him to have a really big game against the Bears. I think he makes up for that week one drop. I think he's been thinking about that for a minute. All right, next up, the Lions can still make the playoffs. Hell yeah or hell nah?
Hell yeah. I mean, they're still mathematically alive. You know, I'm a diehard. I don't give up until, like I said, it's official. Where the NFL says official, you're eliminated from the playoffs. You know, this is Bevel's time to shine. Like I said, he wants to make the playoffs. He wants to sneak into the back door and get that last playoff spot, especially the spot, which you're talking about. And yeah. Sheila don't want them to tank. She wants the players to play hard and win, try to win. Don't tank for a draft pick. You're playing for your job. So is Bevel. I let them go all out. And you had the question was, is there a possibility? Yes, there's still a possibility because they're still mathematically in it.
I'm going to say hell no. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, man. That's just me. All right. Junior Quar will have a sack in his return on Sunday. Playing next to Big Brother, playing around on that line with his Big Brother. He's going to have a sack, bringing some fame to that Okwara name. Do you think he will have a sack? Hell yeah or hell no? Nah.
Well, first of all, he's even guaranteed to play, you know? And if he's going to play, if he's active to play, I don't say yeah because, once again, he had some injuries. He had an injury last year in college. He just happened to be on the football field. He's come close when he did play, but I think if he plays Sunday, I think he will get that first career sack.
Okay. That's what's up. I think he will get a sack as well. I think that the other guys on the other end can definitely push him, and he can get that bend. He can get a sack. He's a very wiry guy. He can got a good bend to him for a defensive end. All right, keeping Rod Wood was the right thing to do. Hell yeah or hell nah.
Well, Wood, and a lot of people say, why was he fired? But he's just basically a glorified accountant for the Lions. He doesn't do anything, has anything to do with the day-to-day operations and player personnel decisions and hiring coaches. So, you know, he's basically their bookkeeper, their accountant. He had nothing to do with how the team was run. So, hell yeah, I guess I can say, you know, because... Yeah. He wasn't brought in to run the team operations, football operations. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a good move.
I think Rod Wood has done some good things for the Lions organization. You know, if they look at the upgrades at Ford Field, and you know, I think he's done some good thing, good positive thing. You look at the Lions were the epitome of the COVID for their COVID program at Allen Park. So and they were like the first teams to get, they were the first team to get certified by the NFL for their COVID program. So I think keeping Rod Wood around for right now was the right idea. All right, next up, Mitchell Trubisky will tame the Lions again on Sunday. Hell yeah or hell nah?
Hell no, because the Lions are tired of this guy. Especially the last time, that's when he beat them. You know, when the Lions lost their cornerbacks, they didn't play Tony McGee, or excuse his name, that guy, you know,
Tony McCray. Yeah, the special teams guy. He was out for the season. So
we want revenge on Trubisky because he's sick of this guy. And I think they're going to go out. They want to kill him. They want Okoro, like I said. Julian's going to sack him. Mm-hmm. Get a couple of picks. I think the Lions, they want blood.
So. All right. Lastly and not leastly, the Lions will have a down year in 2021. Hell yeah or hell no? Nah.
Too early to tell, guys. Like I said, see how they finish out this year, and what kind of, who's going to be the coach, and what kind of players they're going to have. So it's a little too early to tell for that, my brother. 2021. Of course, hope they're up, but it's too early to tell.
I think it's going to be a down. I think with the regime change, it's easy a little not out the gate. I think it was a rare feat with Jim Caldwell, who came in and had a good winning season his first year in the league. I say this for the reason is that you look at how the roster is built right now, I think it's going to be a complete rebuild. And I think there's going to be a lot of players, especially a lot of former Patriots, are going to be moving out of town. So I think it's going to be a complete, almost complete rebuild in Detroit. All right, that is hell yeah or hell nah right here on the Die Hard Dan podcast. Now let's get at this game preview for the Lions and the Bears Sunday, Ford Field, 1 p.m. on Fox. All right, so let's look at the Lions injury report before we get into our game predictions. All right, today we had Quintez Cephus was not at practice, not injury related. So Kenny Galladay is still out with that hip injury. Doesn't look likely he's going to play. Deshaun Hand, groin, no practice. Doesn't look like good for him as well. Okuda is out with the shoulder. It doesn't look like he's going to be a go as well. DeAndre Swift was downgraded from limited practice to no practice today, but it is not for the concussion. It's for an illness. He is out of the concussion protocol, like we said earlier. Austin Bryant, who has made some strides, he still has a thigh injury, limited both days on Wednesday and Thursday. Christian Jones, the same knee problem he's had all season. No practice on Wednesday, but he did practice limited today. Matthew Stafford still has that thumb. He's going to be limited. I like the way that they're keeping him in the shotgun in practice, so he doesn't have to put his hand under center. That's one of the things that hurts, that thumb ligament on the throwing hand. Amendola is back. Limited practice, full practice. Limited practice on Wednesday, full practice on Thursday. Hunter Bryant, the tight end, our rookie. He is back. Full practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And a big addition, Mike Ford came back from concussion, full practice on Wednesday and Thursday. These guys look like they're going to be a full go. And the really big reason why we really needed Mike Ford, you look at Trufant's out on IR. Him and Danny Shelton went on the IR the other day. And we need those cornerbacks because you look at Jeff Okuda, looks like he's going to be out for the game as well. We have D. Virgin on the practice squad, but it looks like he's not going to be able to move up because all of those exemptions for the practice squad have been filled. So if we did get Mike Ford back, we would be definitely shorthanded in the secondary. So looking at the game preview, Lions are 3-point underdogs versus the Bears. Statistically, the Bears have a better defense. Of course, their defense is great. The Lions are a better offense. So it's strength on strength again. The Lions defense are pretty banged up, especially in the defensive backfield. Like I just said, got Mike Ford back. DeAndre Swift, He is dealing with the illness. Hopefully we can get him back. What are your keys to the game for the Lions beating Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears on Sunday?
Well, on defense, I've been saying and preaching, we got to get to the quarterback too many times. We can't get to the quarterback. I mean, got pressure on the quarterback, stop the run. Like I said, if we could have kept that Jacksonville performance and put in the bottle and play the rest of the way like that, I mean, we'd be much better off. You know, you stopped a good talented running back for Jacksonville that day. Put pressure all over the quarterback, Jacksonville quarterback that day. This is why we traded for Everson Griffin. Give us a pass rush. He has 1.5 sacks since he's been here. Not bad, but, you know, I want to see more pressure, more sacks out, not just quarterback hits. I want to see quarterback sacks. So, obviously you got to stop, get to the quarterback and stop the run. And on offense, we need to get a running game. We, hopefully Swift come back here and use that running game we've been hungry for and craving for so long. And to me, play excellent defense, stop the run against the quarterback. That's the key to the game.
Okay. All right. I agree with a lot of those points. One of the things that we need to get to is pressure Mitchell Trubisky and make him throw some errant passes. Definitely. One key to the running game for us is if Akeem Nicks is there for the Bears. He is their run stuffer, and he makes a difference on that defensive line. Without him the last couple of games, they've been getting ran over in the run game. If he's not there, then that's going to be good for DeAndre Swift or whatever running backs we have. If he is there, then we're going to have to make sure we mix it up. And, I think we may have to pass to run, if you understand what I'm saying. If he's not there, we can run the pass. If he's there, then we need to pass to run. All right, those are our keys to the game. What's your prediction? Who you got and what's the score?
I think it's going to be a low scoring slugfest type. Yeah, I'm going to go Lions 13-10 over the Bears.
All right. I'm going to say the same thing. I am going to say that it's going to be a low scoring affair as well. The Bears defense is pretty good. So I'm going to say it is going to be 17-13 Lions.
Okay.
All right. So
we're kind of close.
Yeah. All right, now it is time for us to go ahead and close the show out. Get on out of here. Again, thank you for tuning in to the Die Hard Den podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Hit the like button, ring the notification bell, leave us a comment. Tell us how you were doing and tell us what you want to see. If you want to see some content we haven't covered, let us know in the comments. Same thing over on our Facebook page. If you're watching the video on Facebook as well, share it, like it. Feel free to follow our Facebook page. Shawnee J does his thing over there, keeping you informed of all the Lions news and rumors. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, thank you again for the download. And if you have a Amazon-powered device with Alexa, just say, "Hey, Alexa, play the Die Hard Den podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts," and we'll be right there for you. Shawnee J, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
I'm mainly on Facebook. You can find me, Sean Jennings. I'm there on Facebook. I hope you visit our Die Hard Den page. I do keep it well on stocks with information. It's a public page, easy to find. Also, I'm the head administrator for the Truest Detroit Lions fan group. If you send me a message, I'll be happy to add you. And I'll keep both pages well versed.
All right. So you can find the Die Hard Den podcast at Die Hard Den Pod1 over on Twitter. On Instagram is @die_hard_den_podcast. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/diehardden podcast. It's a public page and you can find our content right over there. You can find me, your man Curtis Steele, over on Twitter and Instagram @CurtisSteele14. That's CurtisSteele14. Hey, it has been a pleasure to be back with you all on the show today. We've been missing you all, but my man Shawnee J, You know, you had to deal with some hard things, and I understand. And this show, if we to reiterate, is dedicated to the memory of Sean's father, Mr. Walter Van Buren. Sir, rest in peace. Your young man is doing big things down here on Earth. So, any final thoughts for the people out there, Shawnee J?
Well, people, you know, surprisingly, maybe not surprisingly, this COVID stuff is supposedly on the rise.
Oh, it is.
I don't know why. But yeah, stay safe. And we want to lick this thing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, for the benefit of people who need there to be a vaccine to come out. I want you guys, you know, we want this to decline, not rise. So please take care of yourselves. Follow the government's instructions to stay safe. Social distance, don't get into big groups. You know, this holiday season, with Christmas, with this past Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's coming up. We're still, you know, we haven't licked this disease yet. But people, I just want you all to be safe out there.
All right. I have to agree with my man, Shawnee J. Please stay safe out there. Hey, you know how we do it right here at the Die Hard Dan podcast. We are always thinking about you, and we appreciate you tuning in to the program. Stay safe out there. Wear a mask. Watch your hands. Social distance. And you know what you got to do for your boy, Kurt Steele. Whatever you do in life, you got to boss up, ball out, and be the best version of you that you can be. For my man, Shawnee J., this is Kurt Steele of the Die Hard Dan podcast, and we are